Blog Talk Radio.
The following is suitable for all audiences, so tell everyone, get on the horn, heck, scream it out your window. No, we're mad as hell and we're not going to take it anymore, but honestly, tell them, this show is for everyone. DJ Butterfly Feces, Cocoon in the microphone. It's 10 o'clock sharp here on the program. We got to get the schedule on. We got to turn this into a 9 o'clock thing. But you know what? Give us your opinions. Check us out on our website and call in. We're at 515-605-9709. That's 515-605-9709. And also, well, really, honestly, you're listening to, once again, DJ Butterfly Feces. You can also listen to Maya Harrison. Check her out. Boy, she got websites. When we last left us, we know the story. Went from McKinleyville, went all over, trying to basically scream to the heavens and everywhere else about the homeless epidemic and get everybody involved and helping out and whatever and what have you. Last we checked, we had left America. We were in Toronto, Canada, and things weren't going so swimmingly. Not so smooth. You know, I really wish that I basically had a more clever way to put that, but really, it didn't go well at all. I mean, look. I thought, they're Canada. They're our neighbors. You know something? They know us. We know them. Our Canadians supposed to be friendly, and maybe they're only friendly to other Canadians, or maybe it's just one more stereotype that doesn't apply to everybody. Sometimes stereotypes represent the majority, but not everyone. Not everyone is exactly like everybody else. I know we try to be. We value conformity above all else, almost everywhere we go. It's like the old days of the witch hunt. The worst thing you can be is weak. The worst thing you can be is different in any way, whether you're defective or too advanced. Basically, being unremarkable is sometimes the best thing to be, at least in the medium run. Anywho, we had basically left Toronto, Canada. We were on the way out. Where to next? And honestly, as we were driving around, I talked to Feces. Dude, did you tell him your story about the meaning of butterfly feces? I said, look, everybody basically, look, like little kids are fascinated by feces, by doo-doo, because it's gross, because it's smelly, it's a bodily function that comes out of them. And it's the most disgusting thing there is, most disgusting thing to do. And they don't know where it comes from and whatever. We all know that it's all part of the system, you know. You eat, you crap it out, and then the feces does turn into something, or some life form that feeds off that and grows. Look, everyone knows the whole cycle and whatever. I mean, they would try to make it funny somehow, whatever, but I don't know how manure works, but they weren't just feeling it. Not everybody going to feel it. I know, but are they all going to be like this? Some listen to you. Yeah. But what are we going to do if we can't get everybody listening? Whatever and what have you. I don't know. Just keep on moving. Whatever. Before I knew it, we were driving all over. I wanted to basically take advantage of every single moment. Too often in my life, I was the kind of guy who looked forward to the destination. Destination was a big letdown, whether it was trying to get older, waiting basically for school to let out or whatever. Something you got to enjoy the moment. The moment. But how do I enjoy the moment? Well, I stuck my head out the window like a dog enjoying. I asked to stop. I asked if we can. He grabbed the hold of me and said, no, dude, please, stop doing that, okay? Man, you got to enjoy the moment. You got to take pleasure in those little details, everything, you know. That moment when the sun goes down and literally there's like just before it's about and just before the sun is about to go down behind the ocean, there's like a green flash. Yeah. I get it. Living life to the fullest. Whatever. Look, do that, but don't do it in a way that's annoying to me. Okay? Don't antagonize me. Integrity. I'm trying to enjoy life. You know, it says a lot about you that you can't appreciate somebody trying to enjoy life, to live the little things, you know. You're like one of those people around there who are miserable, and everyone's be miserable with you. Don't enjoy life too much. Let go of your inner child just becomes the cynical, miserable. All right, whatever. I quit asking him, basically. And I noticed that as we were driving basically back into the U.S., that's right, I thought we were going to take off and leave America again, but we didn't. I kid you not, we were basically going down. I noticed we were driving downward near the other border. Going to Mexico? No, then we were in California. I wondered if he was going to drop me off, you know, back home. Home. I didn't have a home anymore. Those people weren't my family as far as I was. As long as they were concerned, I was concerned, we were all concerned. Now, this was my home, this moving car. And I was afraid to even breathe wrong so I wouldn't be part of it again. I always had trouble relying on myself. I always did. When a lot of people turned on me on the streets, something occurred to me. I suddenly realized that it's true. You can't really rely on anybody else but yourself. You know, what terrified me was that, you know, when you're a kid, you kind of think, okay, children are nasty and horrible to each other. From the time they enter first grade, the time they get older, they're not innocent. They're not sweet. And those that are the first ones get eaten alive in the schoolyard. You know, when you're adults, don't people be nicer to each other and work together? Not always. Nobody cares what your problems are. They got their own. I realized that as we stopped. First of all, we're headed back to McKinley, but no. Panoma. Here we are. Panoma? Once again, I knew what it was. I had a map in my room ever since I was a child. I mean, Panoma, California. I knew what it was. It's just that, I don't know. I mean, we were from McKinleyville to Miami to Seattle, Washington, and to Scottsdale to Antigua, West Indies to, you know, Toronto, Canada. So far, we would hit a lot of big-time landmarks, you know, important places ever since, you know, all that. I had to ask the $10 billion question, why are we in such a, forgive me for saying so, uninspired city? We've been to some real places. This was not a city that was particularly beautiful or particularly interesting. I don't mean to get any hate from you saying so. I'm sure, I imagine people in Panoma have some real hometown pride. But right now, I was not feeling, what's the word I'm looking for here? Like, oh my God, I can't believe I'm here. Panoma? I had to ask, but I was afraid to. Because Organic, the big guy who took me in, who took me from McKinleyville, he took me in. He said, brother, don't act like I'm kidnapping you. You know, you can always go back if you want to. I'll drop you off, whatever. Do you want to be here? You always have a choice. I don't know. It felt like I didn't. Like I said, abducting me, because what else did I choose? But I guess that's the whole point. That's what being a, when you're a kid, you don't really have options and choice. When you're an adult, options, and they're all crap. All the options you take are terrifying and scary, and you're not quite sure the consequences of the outcomes. One thing you know is if you don't, there's like one right answer and a billion wrong ones, and sometimes you're going to get screwed no matter what you do. It's various degrees of getting screwed. What do you do? What do you do? I had to ask him, okay, look, man, please don't get defensive. Dude, don't talk to me like that. No, okay, come on. Every time we face, I ask you a question, whatever, you're like, why are you questioning me? Why? Do you want to be here or not? Now tell me, why Panoma? Because something big happened here. Come on, I want you to see it. He opened the door. Opened my door. So I stepped out there, saw the cowboy riding off into the sunset or the sunrise. It's not a big, beautiful, poetic, majestic victory. It's kind of more like, what's going to happen now? Panoma. Right away, I found the collection of homeless people on the streets. I told them my rap. And you know what, here? I felt a little more comfortable saying it. My name is DJ Butterfly Feces. I used to live in McKinleyville, California, a glorious place, probably the best place I've ever visited in all the traveling we've been doing. We've been traveling a lot of places. You know what? McKinleyville, California, where horses have the right of way. I told them about the beautiful trails we had. I told them about the horse, right? Whenever I told them about how life wasn't working for me anymore, and you know what? I'll tell you one thing. I've been going around saving lives. I was saving lives. I was enlightening people. Some of the adventures that happened on the streets so far. I got homeless people to basically get behind this cause. I told them about how we were saving lives, getting the world cleaned up, and you know what? It was hard to get everybody to listen. But even more than that, I talked about how we were losing lives. I told them about the one that we lost in San Diego. I shouldn't say that. I sound like a damn doctor. I wasn't there trying to save the person. But you know what? Somebody was there who didn't know what they were doing, even they couldn't save them. And I told them about how, I've said this before and I'll say this again. Now, it's a well-known fact that every 10, 20, or 30 seconds out there in the world, someone dies. There's more than one life lost. You know how many people? It's not just every one person dies. It has something to do with how many people are in the world, this huge population. A lot of it has something to do with the drugs we take, the stress we ingest, just how hard life is. But I'll tell you one thing even more so. A lot more people have been doing it ever since the homeless epidemic has gone around. Because you're more likely to die out there. And there's some people that everyone else would say the herd is just being thinned out. We've become so callous, we haven't come as far as a species as we wish we had. I told them about her, and they nodded and agreed, and they said, told me their story. You know what they said? Yo, man, check this out. People have been doing some illegal things out here. And I know they say the laws have to apply to everybody, not just people living in it. Now, I'm talking about the cops have been doing illegal things to us. Once again, it's because, you know, if you're not basically paying taxes, you're not paying their salary, you're not paying for their equipment, you're not paying for any of the office supply, you're not paying even for their coffee, you're not paying for anything of theirs, so that don't mean the law doesn't apply to you, but it does mean that they're not there at your service, and it does mean they can do whatever they want to you, at least they've made it that way. This was terrifying to me. But it didn't surprise me at all. Why be surprised? I know this kind of thing is going on. We all know what's going on, but it's still a shock we see in the flesh. He told me, part of the reason they wear a badge is because if they enforce the law, they don't have to follow it. You know the old phrase, the only difference between a criminal and a cop is the badge. You know? You know. And you know you know. They told me stories. Hey, man, I was out here, really. I was just hanging out with my friends. Whatever, and they hassled me. They chased us away because they want us to run the park during regular hours. Mr. Parks are for taxpayers. They got physical and violent with us. They told me all kinds of stories, man. They told me about how they chased basically them away from sitting around in mostly in public places, places where vagrants collect and personally whatever to panhandle because it's what, whatever. 15 minutes after the hour here, on the DJ Butterfly Feces cocoon from the microphone program. Get involved. We want you to listen like any entertainer, but don't just listen, talk. We're at 515-605-9709. That's 515-605-9709. And the show is brought to you by the one, the only, never going to be another, huge Organic OK, who who hopefully is somewhere out there listening, knowing that I'm getting the message out there. Where do I begin? Oh, yeah, and check out something about Maya Harrison. Believe me, one of those girls got something. Doesn't everyone have a recording studio now? Isn't everyone singing? I know they're vanity stuff. There's more vanity projects than ever, but at least it means the world is hearing. That's what they call it, social media. Okay. I basically did all that plugging in basically about 15 minutes. No, at the 15-minute mark before hitting the 1 minute. What's my point? Okay, back to the story. They told me about how they've been chased around illegally by cops. It's like back during the days of the hippies, you know, when the hippies were basically protesting, the cops were turning on them because they looked at them, they were going at them instead of real criminals because they feared the breakdown of society and whatever. You know, Quakers were kind of hippies too. I mean, they were almost like the first hippies, colonial hippies. There's always going to be people who are part of some new revolution, some kind of cause that's against the establishment. The establishment is especially going to come down on them harder than they will any true, real, malicious, destructive criminal. And I try to tell them, that's what this project is about. We're getting together and we're picking up garbage and whatever around, whatever, but at the same time, we're trying to get everybody involved and connected so that we're part of whatever. You know, people thought that the hippie movement failed, but in a way it didn't. They made sure that their rights were accepted. It wasn't just about living off the land. It was more about trying to make sure everybody, people of color, were accepted. Women wanted to get more rights. And it wasn't all about war. I talked to one of them. I basically told them, I sat down and I told them about the girl from Antigua, West Indies, my love story. I told them there was one point where basically, honestly, I fell for this woman, a native girl who had been living just off where America, just off America Island, Antigua, the West Indies. I told them everything. That I was in love. That I'd been in love. That love is that thing. That love means love. I told them that. And I told them that we had this beautiful romantic love story. And I told them about how much I was longing for that again. And one of them basically said, dude, what are you doing? Why are you telling me your life story? I didn't ask for it. I keep forgetting on here that people don't really want to hear about your problems. Everybody's got their own. I try to tell them, the reason I'm bringing this up is because I'm trying to tell you who I am. Why should I care who you are? Do you care who I am? It's about us all getting to unite. I got my own problems, dude. I want to hear about yours. You had a romance. You know, that's the thing about those romances like that. They don't last. It's a big, epic flash in the pan, and you remember for the rest of your life. Maybe that other person may, if you're lucky. But romances like that never last. I want us all to work together as a team. A team. I don't know. But tell me your story. All I need to know is I got thrown here on the street and it wasn't fair. They just kicked me out here to the curb, if you will. Not just on the curb. They just dragged me out there like a trash. They threw me out in the middle of the road to get run over. Thrown out like trash. I stayed refusing to be thrown away, refusing to be. You wish society basically worked just a little bit harder. I know we're all supposed to get together and do something, and maybe we are, but maybe the reason things are so bad is because we all keep thinking we just elect the right bozo and whatever, everything will be okay. What are we going to do? I know I'm repeating myself, but you got to understand something, good people. A lot of these themes keep happening again and again and again on the street. It's like hearing about anybody's day at work or a day out in the world. Every day is a little varied, but it's all the same old, same old. I told them my plan. what we were trying to do, and even how I got the moniker DJ Butterfly Feces. Some of them were amused. Some of them wondered, how are you going to be taken seriously with a name like Bug Diarrhea? Maybe that guy who gave that name is just having a little bit of fun with you. Maybe. I don't know. Anywho, I asked basically for us all to get together and pick up the trash. These guys didn't want to either. They're like, now here's the thing. Law enforcement officials, the law city was attacking us, coming down on us, punishing us for. It's like they threw us out. This is they threw us out because job changes, is downsizing employees. We lost our home. We lost our everything. And now the law officers are supposed to serve and protect are attacking us like we're real criminals. You know something? I don't want to do anything for them. I know this guy who went over there and basically went number one and number two right there on the street near where the police station is and ran away. He did not. Yeah. We also leave our garbage there. A big radical protest. I don't know. You know, somehow something couldn't get out of my head. Not only were these guys once again not deciding that they really wanted to help us, but you know, I knew something had to be done basically about what happened over here in Panoma. Well, something especially had to be done. I mean, come on. Cops just attacking innocent people because they happen to be vagrants, getting away with that. It was going on there. And this was 2015 back in Panoma. Whenever I basically see people who basically have a lot of kids before they should go out of their way to have kids, it kind of upsets me. I don't know. It just seems like one thing I remember about Canada was that I know they weren't necessarily basically filling the stereotype of being overly friendly to everybody, but you know something? A lot of them, I like to believe, were having fun and working together, and one of the reasons they did was not just because they have a government where everyone really is, there is some kind of unity and socialism, but also at the same damn time because whenever you go to a place where there's just too many people, they're all just going to turn on each other. Oh, Lord, I wondered if Okay was going to take us to China next. I didn't know anything about them, but I thought, think about their homeless problem. Good Lord. Does it mean they practice corporal punishment? I try going around asking people to help me pick up the garbage and whatever and get a grassroots campaign once again to get involved, get involved and try to literally save the homeless people of the world, make sure they were salvaged, and to connect the rest of the world. But you know what? No sale. I'm not kidding, no sale. She didn't work. She just didn't. Why didn't she work? I don't know. Oh, wait, yeah, I do. They sat me down and told me tales of what happened. The persecution of the homeless that was happening down here. The way they were basically, it really was a witch hunt. And the way, when I started telling them about who I was, the girl left behind, they weren't as warm and as receptive. Maybe they'd start caring if I did something for them. Wait, what's wrong with me? I thought. I'm not trying this hard to get these people to like me. I mean, you know, I really want to basically stop whining about my problems. I want my drama to go away. I'm upset. I'm angry about it. Maybe I should just suck it up. No, man, it's just everybody's got crap. And the sad thing is, it's true. Nobody cares. No one. I miss that girl. And the funny thing is, maybe it was just a romance or whatever, but maybe I was... Maybe it was just Antigua that I was really in love with. Maybe it was Antigua she was in love with too. Wherever she is, she's probably back there doing all that with that very, you know, with somebody new. You know? How do you throw all your problems away? How? I basically went to them again and I said, come on, let's try and no good. So I'm like, okay, you know what? Try to do it my own damn self. I basically went all the way up and down and I started picking up garbage and throwing it in the trash. Throwing stuff away. And trying to think what I can do to really help the homeless. This homeless problem is a real epidemic. Surely someone should do something about it. What to do? Went to Organic OK to talk about it. I said, dude, well, how would you feel if basically you went to some random person and they were trying to come up with this new idea that's going to turn the world around? Do you see how they're rushing you? Even someone you know, you start to sit down and talk about their problems. Even, you know, the funny thing is, like, even when you're an adult, try to tell somebody else about your problems personally and whatever. They don't really care. Don't tell me your drama. I got my own. So I had to tell him. I was afraid to tell him my problems. I was afraid he'd scream at me. I was afraid he'd yell at me like, dude, we're out here for a mission. You had a flash in the pan. That was a fling. That was a big fling you had personally with some random native girl. You know what? I think in a way that's one of the things. That's one of the nicer things about being married. Why I almost wish you were, you know. When they're your problems, your spouse's problems too. You all have the same problem. You all have problems together. You have problems together. I had to get out of the car. I was going to sleep in the camper that night. I was going to sleep in the trailer that night in that overhead bed, but I couldn't let him see me cry. I was crying. Not just because I was without her, because, dude, nobody cares. I guess I'm dying for somebody to care, so I'm telling you this right now. I wanted to go back to the island to chase down that girl. I tried to declare myself. She was on another continent. And I know if I mention this to Oregon, okay, say, good, go ahead, go chase after, see how far you get. Man, they love Grant. Aren't we here for purpose? One nice thing about the fact that nobody cares, it means sometimes you're free to do what you want. I don't know. I basically started to tell Organic OK I was getting frustrated. Let me finish. People don't always listen to a guy named Bug Doo-Doo. No matter what, not everyone has a street name, a street moniker. That's one of those monikers you kind of think you take them because all the good ones are taken. I know, nobody cares about my problems. And you got to stop wondering. Dude, stop crying. You know how you basically don't have problems anymore? Stop letting them control you. 30 minutes after the hour here, 10:30 sharp, here on the program, cocooning from the microphone with DJ Butterfly Feces. This show is brought to you by Organic OK. He has a website. Check us out on Blog Talk Radio. You know, he's about this cause of helping, healing the homeless, healing the world even. We're at 515-605-9709. That's 515-605-9709. And check out Maya. Maya Harrison, check her out. She's all whatever. You know, maybe it's one more reason I want to become an entertainer. You want to tell your problems, what's wrong with the world, whatever. You know what? people really do care about you. If you entertain people, if they like your work, if they do, you know what? They care about you more than members of their own family because you entertain them. I'm going to take a moment to say, basically, entertainers know what they do in a way is not really important to life on this planet, and yet it's the most important thing. If they like what you do, if they're entertained by you, then they care what happens to you. You know why? Because you entertain them. You fail to entertain them, they hate your guts. They hate you more than if you murder their own family. They want to see you 6 feet under. If they don't like your work, they hate you for trying. They hate you. They want your blood. So I better make this entertaining. They say, laugh and the world laughs with you. Cry and you cry alone. The genre of drama was invented to get the rest of the world to cry with you. Here are my problems. I'm out there trying to save this world, and a lot of people don't want to see it saved, especially the people who are the world did this to. I get it. I mean, you were willing to work hard and study whatever, and you still got thrown out in the street. You don't have any money. You think, oh, I'll just get a job. Where is there a job? Whatever. In a place. Would you want to do anything for anybody anymore? You see why criminals do exist. Maybe it's not just inherent evil. You want to hurt the system that did this to you. Destroy the society. The system that did this. It's like these rules. It's like this system. This is not for us. This is for basically the people the world did right by. And it doesn't let the world did right by very many people. It allowed the most evil people in the world to prosper. Bad things don't just happen to good people. Horrible things do. Horrible things happen to everybody, but those that are evil enough who know how to work the system stand triumphant. There I was in Panoma, California, and I was crying because it was like nobody cares about my problems. And I know, and I was trying to say these. Once again, I was angry. I was getting no response. So now what? I just started picking up garbage. Before I knew it, I happened to basically, there was one of the gang. Not Organic OK, but somebody else who had been traveling with us on our world tour. It was a little local at this point, but trust me, there's going to be a world tour that they're going to pick up. They had a camera. One of those basically, you know, it's kind of like a TV camera, but apparently it's more handheld and portable. Looks like they were making some kind of home movie. But I found that wasn't the case. He said, feces, come over here. I said, just call me DJ or Butterfly. I did the feces part. You're DJ Butterfly feces. No, I know, but just in public, just mention the, what are you telling me, you're DJ Butterfly or something? When they just hear feces, they just, dude, quiet man, listen. These people are going to help us out. What do you mean? I asked. What did he mean? The guy shook his hand, it turned out. They weren't just making a home movie, they're making a documentary. Not the kind of thing that's going to be uploaded for free, but they're going to make this into a real professional film. A real professional film. It turned out they were basically making what you see, one of the many in-depth, hard-hitting documentaries on homelessness and what was going on in Panoma, California. Heck, this was going on everywhere. But today they were happy to be making one at this particular time and place. I thought, okay, I need to stop crying. I need to stop bawling, breaking down over all these horrible, traumatic events, the defining tragedies that have happened to me. It's like the superhero, supervillain story. There's always that one defining tragedy where it was all taken away that turned them, morphed them into this creature that was more beast than man, whatever. I had to put that aside. No, I'm upset and frustrated right now, but there were bigger, more pressing matters to take care of. And here it was, right there, in all its absolute dang glory. They were going to basically make a documentary. We were going to talk about what was going on in Panoma, California. It was too perfect. So, I ran over on winged feet. basically shook hands. And I basically said, hello. I decided not to give my name, but at one point, organic case said, no, dude, tell them who we are. Tell them about the plan. Tell them about the project. Get the message out to the world. It wasn't just about basically endorsing some other company or whatever. The world had to know who we were, because media was the best way to get any message across. We shook hands. I'm DJ Butterfly Feces. I used to have a blog talk radio show, and this is Organic OK, and this is, I introduced the whole gang. And I also introduced a lot of the homeless problem and epidemic that was going on in the world. I talked about how basically all this ugly, ugly bedlam was going on, not merely in America, but it was happening at this point, particularly right here in Panoma. And then how we were trying to basically collect, pick it all up, and get everybody to just, we're trying to basically ignite all these people. And I talked about this whole thing, we're trying to get everyone to pick up the garbage and to fight and unionize the trash. But I don't know. I don't know. So, honestly, we basically went up and down and talked about everything. We got together and picked up the garbage and threw it away. We did it on film. You see, that's the thing. With this documentary crew falling around, this is what actually got them to ignite a fire. Somehow, we're all somebody different when the camera's on us, aren't we? Aren't we? Aren't we? Even in a documentary, everybody's acting, everybody's putting on airs. Besides to follow us around, they said this was a good phenomenon. We went to basically places all around Panoma, so we picked up the trash, and everybody told their story in front of the camera. And I told my story. Everything from McKinleyville to now. And you know what? People started to tear up. The rest of the homeless. I get like it took something like this to make somebody care about what I was going through, who I was. Why don't we reach out to each other? Why don't we truly help one another? The problem is sometimes a good Samaritan is just an easy target. The guy who's too eager to help him, whatever. You got to keep yourself calloused and cruel and cardboard. Don't lower your guard. You're prey, honey. You're prey. Okay, maybe that's what it had to be for a few millennia. Ever since the beginning of, ever since we were all basically one bacteria somewhere, and then we split into the life forms. But dang it, can't we have changed really just a little bit? I told my tale of my romance in Antigua, West Indies. And when I saw death, right, I stared right in the eye, and San Diego, and I realized any one of us could be next. And I heard about all the horrible atrocities that were happening here in Panoma. The way that basically they were really especially persecuting hard. Cops were abusing their authority. Abusing it. Like the stepchild in some children's story. Really coming to town. And you got to hear this part. After I was done with that, and every single one of them shook my hand and patted me on the back and said, I'm so sorry you've been through so much. I'm sorry. 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 And hopefully the world will get out now with this message. This is a message. There was a real message going on. Now, look around. We've seen all kinds of documentary about homeless people living all over every which way. It's not just juicy news. It's a real problem that seems to be getting worse. As I'm talking about this, the coronavirus especially is spreading. I mean, once again, this story takes place in 2015 before the virus. But, you know, whatever epidemic you have to worry about, whatever problem you're facing, whatever you're dealing with, whatever slide, you know, those out there on the streets have a – they're much more vulnerable. They got a much worse chance of getting it. At one point I asked Organic, okay, Organic, now come on. Think about it. So many documentaries about the homeless epidemic. What's going to make this one stand out? Dude, as long as people see them and watch them all, they know there's a real problem going on, right? Yeah, there's a real problem, isn't there? I know. Exactly. They're going to do something. It's like airline food used to be horrible. You know that? Do you remember when airline food was really bad? It's really great cuisine. It's great now. It is. I haven't flown in a while. Dude, I never flown. I spent my whole life in McKinleyville. I never even really left town until you came. Well, trust me, airline food used to be horrible. You remember school lunches? Weren't they bad? But then that changed because enough people complained about it. You're right. This homeless problem is getting so bad they're going to have to do something about it. Like the dang Great Depression, like any war, if something's enough of a big enough problem, you know what? People are going to get together and do something about it, because if they don't, it's going to get worse and worse, going to kill everybody. You know, that is the definition of the triumph of the human spirit. When something is annoying enough, if it's killing, if people are suffering, they're going to do something. When the problem affects everyone, nobody cares about any individual's personal crap. No one. But it's a problem that affects all of us. Something will be done. Dude, you're doing a great job. I know your feelings were a little hurt because people don't want to hear about your stuff, but, you know, it's not just people who have, out here who have problems that are worse. Everybody somewhere has got problems. There are a few people who don't have any problems, and you envy them. But you know what? You know what? What? Make your life, you know. Make it your life. You don't need sympathy tears from anybody else. What, you want advice about what you should do? Do what you want to do. Because no matter what, there's going to be side effects with everything. Whether you profit or you lose, it's always on you. I realized we were making it. We were making progress. More than progress, we were doing something. I got in front of those cameras, and I basically told them, the homeless need your help, and that everybody should make a point to at least listen to somebody else's problems, whatever, listen to somebody like a friend. We all just need to know each other. But the funny thing is that sorry, I'm lost for words again. Okay. I'm tired of crying about my problems. 45 minutes after the hour here on the program, cocooning from the microphone with DJ Butterfly Feces. This program brought to you by Organic. Okay. Check them out on Blog Talk Radio. You know, we got a Twitter, have a Facebook up. Get involved with the cause. Get really involved. What do you think? We're at 515-605-9709. 515-605-9709. You got to dial a 1 first before anything else. Oh, and Maya Harrison, you know, check her out, blah, blah, blah. I know, this is getting tiresome for me, whatever. But every 15 minutes, I got to do this plug. It breaks up the monotony. It's our commercial break, so to speak. Man, ads are everywhere, aren't they? Look at all those ads, people making money. Once again, there'd be less of a poverty problem. And now back to what I was talking about. I had to let go of the past. I had to learn from it. I got to stop making my life all about these bad. It seemed like terrible things always kind of did happen to me in some way, and I'm going to let it go, let it go, let it go. What made me so special? Organic OK did. I was the messenger. And I went around there, and I basically told them this wasn't just about helping the homeless, making sure every single one of them is sheltered somehow, that they have some kind of trailer to live in, or that basically they can live in a clean environment. You know, they can still work somehow. Something needs to be done. And making sure the people that wound up on the street can get off it at some point. But once again, I think everybody should spend, you almost want to spend like a certain amount of time on the street. And only rich people can afford to amuse themselves by, hey, running, doing the most oddest things just to, because they're so eccentric, like Organic OK was. Not that I'm saying he's rich or nothing, but the point is, dang it, what was the point? Oh, yeah, now I remember. Really, honest to God, or whatever deity you believe in, people on the street, people, this message was getting out. This is even better than basically what we were doing almost everywhere else, because you know what, now we were in front of film, we were in front of media. This guy was basically, this movie was going to get made, they were going to see us, they were going to hear our message, and it was going to catch on. He said, oh, one of them actually hugged me. I wish you luck. They stopped. You have showered recently. He said, oh, yeah. Organic OK takes care of a lot of the stuff. What, he showers you? Well, he's got, like, some degree of money, and he takes care of us. Well, we're out here helping the cause. I mean, we don't have a place ourselves to begin with, but we're, okay, all right, yeah. Bye. One point, I went to Organic OK, and I said, you know, if you got money, why don't you basically just make this movie yourself? He said, dude, as tempting and easy as it would be for us to have a big movie and have us filming, us going around helping people and whatever. As tempting as that would be, and that would be, it's not about me. Look, I'm not a filmmaker. It's about us. People wouldn't take the cause to us if we just made a movie about it. It's about us. We're out there. They're going to see what we're doing. So when somebody makes their own movie, like a vanity, like production company or whatever, don't nobody take it seriously. They just pat themselves on the back. I couldn't find that thing. I want people to realize this is the right thing to do. Dang, I didn't know. Huh, 11 minutes to go. All right, let me just basically end with this. I sat down with one of them and I said, I'm sorry we weren't basically very attentive. It's just, dude, we got our own problems. No, it's okay. You know, I guess it just upset me because I had some friends back in school back before I was a drifter, a traveling Rolling Stone before that. And you know what? They didn't want to hear about my problems either. I mean, they would laugh at me when I told them my problems. They laughed. People still attack you. When does life get easier? I don't think it ever does. It just gets harder. When you're gone, you're gone. That was a sad thing to hear. What do you do? What did I want exactly? What was I expecting? I wanted to tell him, I said, look, is there a TV station? Maybe we can hang outside and do an intro on this too. No, dude. I mean, we just did a TV. We're trying to be a TV star now. No, dang it. Look, I'm a radio guy. Yeah, you got the face and body for radio. Okay, you're not a dang looker either. My point being is we should go into every single whatever telling us about our mission because we're not just trying to get made in persona. It's the only way. The only way. It's the only way. This thing is going to catch on. Yeah, you're right. I'm sorry, guys. I know this show was billed as a comedy. It was more of a funny show, but that's the thing about life, dude. It's about hitting all the notes. Some days you're laughing. Some days you're crying. Some days it's kind of a surrealistic horror show. some days everything goes wrong. Some days, bad luck, someone's going to get more than their fair share. One thing at the end, here's a part that's a little comedic. Organic OK basically gave me a phone. And he basically, there's a side that says voice recorder. He let me record my thoughts into it like a diary, which one of the reasons I was able to document all that happens on this trip. And I used it. I ranted into it. I quit annoying him by telling him with my problems, like what's wrong with me, like I'm money, because, you know. I started ranting and raving into my phone. It helped. It was therapeutic, but then once in a while I listened to it. And then I turned it off because it made me sick. I also remember listening to some of the problems of the people on the street. And you know what? I remembered how I was touched by their stories. But later on this trip, I got to tell you something. I was also getting tired of hearing them. Because everyone had more or less the same story. Little very, little whatever. But you know what? This phone thing made me sick. Listening to it just... It's not driving me insane. I was still complaining about this stuff. It made me disgusted just hearing my own whine. Okay, tell me, you ever basically hear your own ranting and raving about how hard your life is directed right back at you? You ever hear it? Doesn't it make you sick as you're complaining about it? Okay, it's worth complaining about, but at some point you're like, who cares? I don't know. What do you mean? Yeah, I do. I had enough. I was going to document what happened on this trip, but I thought, no more complaining. No more dang complaining. I just couldn't do it anymore. No more. These people have it worse. They really do. Honestly, I'm not going to say I don't know. I got tired of complaining, but I got to tell you one thing. That's the whole point of basically being one of those microphone people who complain about. You don't create a beautiful fantasy thing as an escape from life. You do this kind of thing that helps you address it better so you can cure it. Cure the illness that is life. World don't make nothing easy for you. Well, okay, there's some of us who are born into it. Old money. But maybe things need to be a little bit harder for them, just like a little bit easier for the rest of us. In any case, misery loves company. You had to do something. What to do? I don't know. Billy, I decided no more crying, no more complaining. I'm going to do what I wanted to do it. No, no, no. I got the weight of the world on my shoulders. I'm the messenger here. I looked out in Panoma and I realized I made a difference. Since those homeless people were being filmed, I made a point to pick up all the garbage and get behind my cause. The fucking way that they had to because they were being filmed. But dang it, dang it, dang it. The message was carrying on just after a few short trips. Once again, none of this happened overnight. I mean, I know I do these shows, you know, you tell them day by day basis. We're on three times a week, but understand something, good people. I was there for more than a day. We didn't just basically go to one city in one day. And even though basically we usually do like an hour, now recently it was a half hour show, we didn't just basically spend one day out there. It wasn't just that Rome wasn't built in a day. We spent days to really make an effort. And we did that. And we're going to keep doing that. on that street no more, but I'll tell you one thing. Big things happened. Things bigger than life itself. They were happening. At one point, I basically asked, honestly, Organic, you got the money and resources. Couldn't we just basically get a film crew to come with us on this trip? Because if we make this film, if we do this ourselves, if we basically get people on camera, then maybe they'll listen to us more. Before they say, no, dude, you know what? They'll just expect us to do all the whatever. They'll like, you're here with the film equipment, you do it. It only works if everybody gets involved with this, you know? At least the majority of people. Only a few people aren't going to listen. Or say everybody, I mean most people. Dang it. I just kept saying, dang it. I don't know. Good people, I do not honestly know. What do you suggest? I know I kept making suggestions, but he was getting angry. Again, we're going to do it his way. But maybe it was working. A few people can afford to do it their way. Most people got to do it everybody else. Mostly everybody else has to do it one other person's way. One person does it their way. Most of the world does it someone else's way. Which one was I? Can I afford to trust myself? Can I really rely on me? Even when we're little kids, we want to do whatever we want. Then you get a little bit older where literally you see a lot of those things you want would have gotten you killed, made you sick. We're just stupid. Downright dumb. And you get older, you're like, what should I do? I don't know. I honestly basically wanted us to get just a little bit more. I remember just like as we were leaving Panoma, I remember just thinking, maybe there's something else I should have told them. But what? What if my stuff would all wind up in the movie? Would it get left on the cutting room floor? I don't know. I know the movie's around there somewhere. I'm sure that guy made it. Documentary is one of the easiest films to make. You don't have a lot of actors and too much of a script and don't, you know, to worry about. Point the camera and you shoot. You put on some music, try to make it straightforward, but what? But dang, it's a documentary. And with this homeless epidemic problem, the problem takes care of itself. I looked at Organic OK and I realized he was a mentor. But what I felt like I really needed right there was a friend. Was he? Maybe. You've been listening to Cocooning from the Microphone with DJ Butterfly Feces here. Yeah. Tune in next week for the next chapter. Find out where we went next and find out what happened there. I'm telling you, things are really starting to pick up. This is going to get more interesting. This show is brought to you by Organic OK, who's still out there pushing and pumping all this, you know, pushing it hard. Thank you for listening. Hopefully you are at some point. Good night.